Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Muslim Next Door podcast. I am your host, Shifa Abdul. In today's episode, I kind of wanted to bring a lot of positivity and bring some light into the darkness that we've kind of been in the last couple months. I know things have been hard for a lot of people, whether it's from the pandemic or facing Islamophobia, which has, you know, grown rampant in the last couple months, especially where I'm from. You know, there's been a couple incidents that have kind of, you know, just been very hard to deal with and kind of face, of course, and just seeing so much hatred towards us as Muslims. It's not an easy pill to swallow, obviously. So I just wanted to kind of discuss a couple Muslim wins that have happened in the last couple weeks. And so the first one I wanted to bring up was the fact that there's the first government-funded mosque opening up in Athens, or at this point in, when this podcast is up, has already opened. It's kind of amazing, you know, and it's the first time like a formal mosque has been open in nearly 200 years. And so what this means, it's state-funded. So this mosque is being obviously paid by the government, which is something that, you know, they haven't had. It's always had to have been out of the pockets of actual Muslims. And so it's a huge win because it's something that's been hugely opposed for years. And they've tried to open a mosque there before and it just hasn't kind of gone through. And so for that to happen is kind of a huge win. And, you know, it's amazing, you know, like, there's an official place for Muslims to go and pray. And now they're saying it's not the greatest and it's not, you know, the prettiest. But I mean, considering the fact that this is something that was so hugely opposed and that they were able to put through, I think is just a huge win in itself. So that's absolutely amazing. And it makes me happy. And yeah, I mean, it's just, it's really cool to see that and to know that people are slowly changing their minds, you know, like something that was so hugely opposed for it to go through. It means someone's mind has changed. And so it's great. It's awesome. And the next big thing, and it's kind of relevant to what's going on in the world, is in relation to COVID-19. And that is that there has been a vaccine created by a Turkish Muslim couple. And so their physicians, I don't know how to say it, pronounce the names, but I'm going to try my best. Yugur Sahin and Uzlem Turusi. I have probably butchered that so badly, but it's a 55-year-old physician and his 53-year-old wife, and they created a vaccine that big corporations are kind of claiming is 90% effective and would soon be available, which is crazy, and it's a huge breakthrough in medicine, especially considering the fact that, you know, this is something we're all facing currently and is continuing. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of places go back down into lockdowns because the numbers are rising once again. But yeah, so this couple, they're immigrants from Turkey, and they ended up in Germany. And they're actually among the 100 wealthiest people in Germany, but they're known to be like extremely humble and like they're not like very flashy in a lot of their things. And it's just really cool to see like that a vaccine was created by immigrants, you know, and a lot of people have hatreds toward immigrants saying, oh, they come into our country just to mooch off of us and kind of thing. And it's like, no, like when you see kind of people like you see people like this, you know, they're actually giving back not only to the country, but to the world, you know, and creating such a vaccine, especially when we're in such a dark time and people are being locked up in their homes and life as we know is not as normal. And the fact that this Muslim couple was able to achieve that is amazing. And so that's a huge win. But unfortunately, obviously, when it comes to reporting this kind of news, suddenly they don't celebrate the fact that they're Muslims. The only time that the media will bring up that they're Muslim if it's something negative, unfortunately. But I think as a Muslim community, seeing this kind of thing is a huge breakthrough. And I think for the whole world is a huge breakthrough. Like a vaccine that's 90% effective. I mean, I'm not a huge science person. I'm not in the, you know, world of health and that kind of thing. But I think that's kind of amazing. You know, and correct me if you're listening and you understand medical and stuff and 90% effective isn't as amazing as I think it is. Correct me, but I think that's pretty cool. But yeah, so that's pretty great. Another thing relevant to what's going on in the world recently in America was their elections. So obviously they got Trump out. Yay them. hopefully the hatred that you see in America kind of can lessen and, you know, racists can become afraid again about being racist. A bigger win is, so they had 110 Muslim candidates who were running for state office. Out of the 57 victors, 7 made history as the first Muslims elected to their respective state offices, which is amazing. And I think this is like a huge way of, you know, tackling the rise of Islamophobia when we have political representation and we have people in office who are Muslim and who look like us and who think like us. You know, that's the first step to kind of going towards that. And so more than half of all Muslim American candidates for public office who ran in the general election won their races, which is crazy and amazing. And I love that. And so to see, you know, people in political positions, you know, we get the Muslim perspective on a lot of narratives in politics. So whether it's healthcare, or the economy, or the criminal legal system, and any other issue that you kind of see in the American life, there's a huge now portion of it coming from a Muslim perspective, which is really great for America, really great for Muslims in America. And I think that's kind of like the first step for them. You know, they're getting hopefully on track to a better America, and you know, that's all we can kind of hope for. And another kind of win in America for Muslims, specifically New York. So the NYPD, so the New York Police Department, is no longer forcing Muslims to remove their hijab for mugshots. Now I know you might be thinking Muslims shouldn't be even getting arrested in the first place, but there's a lot of reasons people get arrested. So this is a huge win, especially for Muslims in New York. And so this kind of came about because a group of Muslim women sued New York City. And so they reached a settlement recently that would allow those detained by the NYPD to keep their religious headwear while in custody and require training for NYPD officers of the new policy. So this policy also covers, you know, like other religious headwears from other religions. So like turbans, wigs, any other religious headwear to be kept on for mugshots and while people are in custody. And kind of I see this as a huge win for us because, for example, Linda Sarsour, who's a political activist and she's a Muslim woman in New York who wears a hijab. She's been arrested multiple times for her activism. And so she's said before that, like, you know, officers have tried to take off hijab during the process of being booked and everything. You know, there's no training for that, I think. We also recently saw in the Black Lives Matter protests that kind of went throughout several cities across the states and the world. There was a young Muslim woman in Miami by the name of Alaa Masri, who was arrested, and she was forced to take off her hijab. She's 18, or was at the time that she was arrested. And so she was arrested on suspicion of battery against a police officer, resisting an officer with violence and disorderly conduct. And it was all this kind of things, you know, she was just protesting. But so when she was arrested, they forced her to take off her hijab. And she estimates that she had her hijab off for around 7 hours in front of men, which is a huge no-no. You know, we only take off our hijab in front of men we're related to. So, you know, our fathers, obviously, our brothers, uncles, grandpas. That kind of thing. We wear it in front of men who aren't family. And so obviously these people that are around her when she's being booked aren't people she's related to. So this is like hugely insulting and humiliating for a Muslim woman to be forced to take off her hijab and be seen without it. And on top of that, her mugshot with her hijab off, you know, was spread around online, which is even more upsetting and even more embarrassing, you know, like on top of being forced to take it off and forced for men to see her while she's sitting and waiting for almost 7 hours, is that the world saw her without her hijab. And, you know, that just, it's so disrespectful to her and her religion and to her beliefs. And, you know, we have a freedom of religion, and that's infringing on that freedom of religion that you see in the States. And it's insane, you know, and she says that she wasn't searched in a private room and they forced it off her head in front of other men, you know. So like, that's not only a violation of her religion, it's a violation of her privacy. And she should have, you know, the right to wear her hijab and the right to keep it on. And no one should be forcing it off her, you know, like in any other situation, there would be huge outcry and there would be huge issue with someone pulling off a hijab or a religious dressing off another human being. I mean, taking off anyone's clothes forcibly is wrong. So I don't know why police are, you know, allowed to do that to a Muslim woman they're arresting, you know? And it just brings back to the whole conversation of defending the police. But that's another conversation for another time. But we're celebrating the win here where NYPD is now getting the training they need and they're not allowed to do that. So, I mean, when you start seeing states like this, you hope that other states that don't have this policy start following in their footsteps and hopefully bettering themselves, which is another win. So I'm very happy about that. And so all these little wins make me happy. And I think as a Muslim, you know, with everything going on in the world, we should be celebrating these wins and we should be excited and we should be happy and we should talk about them. And I know there's a lot of bad things going on and we're dealing with a lot of bad things as Muslims. But I think we should celebrate it, you know, one step at a time. I mean, we have to take the good and the bad, and it's okay sometimes to kind of shut off social media, kind of take a step back from the news and everything we're seeing on in the world, because sometimes it can get overwhelming and sometimes it can get very stressful. And, you know, of course, everyone has to deal with their own issues, you know, whether it's mental health or it's familial issues or relationship issues, whatever it is, you know. So sometimes it's okay to take a step back and, you know, celebrate those wins, take a break, stop reading the news, because sometimes it does get overwhelming. And obviously in recent months, you know, sitting down and seeing, you know, whether it's from the pandemic or the Islamophobia we're seeing, or it's, you know, the wars that are happening or the attacks that are taking place, it's a lot to handle and it's a lot to deal with. And, you know, and as a human, there's only so much we can handle. And so taking a break and taking a step back is definitely something that you need to do. And it's something that's good for you. And just, you know, to focus on yourself for a bit. I know a lot of times we can get swept up with what's going on around in the world and feel a little hopeless and feel a little upset. So, I mean, I think today I just wanted to kind of celebrate those wins, you know, and these are just a couple, you know, there's a lot more wins that we as Muslims can celebrate, but I think these are like huge ones and things that affect, you know, us as Muslims in the West. And so seeing, you know, these little things getting better and seeing these things, you know, it's not only getting bad, you know, there's the bad, but there's also the good. And so we just have to kind of remember that and keep it going. I also want to celebrate the fact that probably in the last week, there were a bunch of girls who wore the hijab. I want to celebrate the Muslims that have recently converted. You know, there's so much going on in the world. And when you hear of people putting on the hijab, you know, when I hear of it, it makes me happy. So I want to celebrate the girls who decided that, you know, yesterday or today or the day before was the day that they were going to wear it and made that decision. So let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate the Muslims that are, let's celebrate the reverts, the new converts to Islam, the ones who, you know, did the research and fell in love with the religion. I mean, let's celebrate that. There's a lot of amazing things that we can look at and be happy about and remember when we're feeling down and feeling, you know, questioning our religion, because you will question your religion, especially being raised in a Western society. So, I mean, taking that step back and celebrating all that will help and remind us of, you know, why we want to be Muslim and why we want to be good Muslims and why we, you know, pray five times a day, why we, you know, wear the hijab. So these constant little wins and reminders, you know, will keep us on track, I hope, and, you know, encourage us to continue the path that we're on. And, you know, and if we're on a path that's not so great, I hope it encourages you to, you know, work towards becoming a better Muslim. And, you know, that's all you can really hope for other people and pray for other people. So yeah, I think I'm gonna end it here. You know, it's a shorter podcast this week and I thought I'd keep it short and simple and sweet. And I hope everyone has a great rest of their week. I hope you only face good things. So this has been a Muslim Next Door podcast. You can follow me on Instagram at Muslim Next Door Podcast or on my personal Instagram if you'd like to, which I will leave in the bio. You can also listen to me on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Music, Overcast, and Breaker. And leave me nice reviews for the podcast if you really enjoyed this. Share this with your friends and family. And yeah. It's been fun talking to you guys. So stay safe, stay healthy, stay 6 feet apart, and don't miss your prayers. Until next week, take care.